but you listen to compared to OK Computer, the track Ben sounds more like a bunch of really great songs on an album, where OK Computer sounds like, okay, yeah, we're going to write this amazing Iron Lung opera.
And Just, you know, and the Bends, yes, and all those songs. It is really a fantastic album. All
right.
But, you know, with Pablo Honey, it's like, okay, if you had an album that had a bunch of also-ran songs and Yesterday is in the middle of it, you'd still say that's pretty decent album.
The thing is, I went back after listening to the Bends and OK Computer and wanted more of that. And then when I go back and listen to it, it's not that. So it's like, okay. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
you know who had some pretty good songs? Is that Third Eye Blind. They were pretty good.
You're not helpful, and you're not on time.
I'm sorry.
Larry's given up around episode 246. Yeah.
I got boosted yesterday, and it's kicked my ass.
Boy.
I barely slept last night, and I have no excuse other than just being so out of it that I was like half asleep, just zoning in front of TV and just not wanting to.
Vivian got her second shot yesterday.
So did Owen.
Wow, how about that? You guys all three of our families had a shot yesterday? That's amazing.
Yeah.
When the people that you know you don't like you, and your tongue's a little wrong, show up late this podcast, where you are official flash.
Don't start improvising lyrics this far into the thing.
Hey, you know what? I mailed it in, boys.
Yeah.
That's not going to be helpful when I try to sync all this up later. Yep. It's not going to help you. That's
and
not gonna
nobody's going to hear what you were jibber-jabbering around.
Fellas, what a week.
Woo! Oh, dude.
What a week. Oh, by the way, that's Larry Morgan. That's Josh Fligger. Nice. I'm Andy Chanley. Mm-hmm. And Sam Farmer's on assignment.
Yeah. You want to dig right into it? You want to have us tell you about our lame
weeks? They think last week's show was negative. Woo, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Buckle in,
good
people.
Good God.
Yeah.
So where'd we leave it? We left it last week with Silas. He's running a temp.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's running a little bit of a, he's got a little bit of a high temperature.
Well, no, you were already very concerned because it had gone on for much longer than it should have. And you guys were mystified and we were concerned and yet still found ways to mock the whole process because we're assholes.
Because that's what we do.
So in retrospect,
it's where I find my solace. Well, so
you can revel in our contriteness today because
I didn't know either. We didn't know, you know, what it could possibly be at that point, and it didn't really dawn on me of how bad it could be until I started to read WebMD.
That's
a terrible idea.
Fevers of Unknown Origin, the FUO.
That's right, the FUO.
And he goes to the emergency room last weekend because he finally has a fever that doesn't react to fever reducer, talking about my 11-year-old boy Silas. And we're quietly freaking out, but I'm trying to keep cool for the boy. And like, yeah, you know what? We got to go and they got to do some blood work. The only problem is there's no place that can do it on the weekend. So we have to go to the emergency room. Trying to play the emergency room as cool as you can play it as a parent. And
it's fun. Everybody goes there. Yeah.
You can. This is
got a bouncy house.
Everybody's there. You'll see. So they go to the emergency room at Children's Hospital, and it's packed. And it takes like four or five hours for them to even get seen by somebody.
Man.
And that is because let's be fair here. I've got some heaps of praise to give Children's Hospital before this is all done. And Larry, you know about that place.
Yeah, we did this at the same
time.
We
did the radiothon. Yep. Back in Sound Days,
I have I walked out of there a changed human that day.
Was I there too? Because I think I went down to the Orange County one. Did you guys do a simulcast?
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes
I was at the Orange County one, and that was right when Sydney was close to having Owen, and they were showing us like the all the newborn ward. That brings you down to earth real quick.
Oh, big time. But also it shows you the frickin' miracles those people do there every day.
Miracles. And that place, like they're showing us, so we're just building this wing and you know, this, and so like they're adding on, you know, like building onto the NICU and stuff. And they're taking us on this tour and you're walking around seeing these tiny, tiny babies, you know, the size of a
football,
half quart of milk. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God.
And the giant contraptions around them just to keep them in an environment that's safe and keep them alive. I mean, it's science fiction in there. It's insane. The people are amazing and beautiful and down to earth, and the technology is mind-blowing. It looks like a Marvel movie in there. It's incredible. Yeah.
It does. And on top of that, though, they try to make it as fun and as dealable for a kid as they possibly can. And that place, by the way, if like a 7.0 or 8.0 earthquake ever hits Los Angeles, that's the command center. That's a like a level 5 trauma hospital where there's a helipad on top. And it's built to withstand Armageddon.
It's got its own power grid. Water systems and stuff.
The mayor would go there to direct activity around the city. I mean, it's pretty impressive, that place. So anyway, they go and they're like, okay, so we've run tests. We look at the white blood count. It's this indicates that it's not cancer. And it looks like it's probably some kind of virus, maybe. But you're going to have to see an infectious disease specialist, and they're not in until Monday. You'll call, and it'll probably take you a week to get in. So call them on Monday morning and see what you can do. Well, Laura calls on Monday. They come back, and we still have this kid that has this ongoing fever. But she calls on Monday, and they're like, yeah, we can get you in 10 days. And we're like, oh, God. Put us on the cancellation list. Thank God there's a cancellation that day, last Monday. And so we get in that same day, and he's seen, and they're like, yeah, this is one of two things probably. This is probably a inflammation syndrome that goes on a month after exposure to COVID, or it's murine typhus. Fucking typhus. I'm like, Jesus. Is Victoria the queen right now?
Exactly.
Is this 1850? Are we the fucking, Ingalls family?
When did Silas manage to time travel back to the great potato famine in Ireland? What in the world?
Fucking weird.
She said it was typhus and then threw a bucket of urine out the window.
guys, bring the leeches out.
Yeah. Just bizarre, right? Just to hear the word, we're like, wait, what?
Well, you never hear that. I mean, other than literally reading in books about, that usually comes in times of like famine and
it does. Well, and it's here's the
thing. Wait, what did you initially say it was called though? Murine typhus?
Murine. Murine. Is it murine?
Sounds like she's friends with like Shirley Manson in some awesome 90s, garbage type band. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I do a little reading on it, and I find out, and my mind immediately goes to, from typhus, oh, that's typhoid fever. It's not. No. It's different. It's a totally different thing. Typhoid fever was, like Typhoid Mary, she spread that stuff around. She was a cook in people's houses. So she'd go around, and she didn't believe she had it, and she didn't believe in washing her hands after she pooped.
Oh. Who does?
So she go to the bathroom, right?
Whoa! Hold on!
I'm kidding. I just wanted to see if that would slip through there.
No. I was just going to gloss past that.
Nope. I just wanted to confirm that Josh was in fact kidding.
I am kidding.
Because I work with people who.
Go ahead.
So Typhoid Mary would go fix up a big bowl of snakes, and then. And then she'd come back into the kitchen and start kneading the dough, right? Yeah. So everyone around her got deathly ill and or died. And, and she kept going on doing it. And she didn't see the point of doing anything that resembled hygiene. Anywho, different thing. This is born, murine typhus is born on fleas, on rodents, which there, Larry, you just killed a rodent or trapped a rodent in your house last month. We're talking about it. It's, you know, it's on, I guess, mice and rats. And we've got two cats.
I was just going to say, in your place, crawling with kitties. And yeah, well, three cats. They're outdoor cats
they're
a lot of the time.
Indoor, outdoor cats. Yeah, they're in the backyard and they're inside. And so there you go. So, I mean, that's history.
Bye-bye.
So what'd you do to the cats?
Yeah.
Throw them in the garbage?
Yeah, we slaughtered them. Okay. We slaughtered them. And then
put them in the burn barrel.
We smoked them. little applewood smoke.
No.
Did you wash your hands when you're done?
We got the flea medication for them, mm-hmm. so that we're eradicating the fleas on them. But that's what they were laboring.
How's he doing? This has been what? That you figured this out Monday?
That was last month. Well, that was their suspicion. They did some tests, blood tests, and so forth. And then on Tuesday morning, they called and said, "Yeah, you might want to get in here." I mean, it's time for him to have a little stay at the hospital.
Okay.
So we go in there, and they run more tests. And then they run more tests on top of those tests. And they give him a bed, and he's in there. And that night, Tuesday night, I go back in because I took the night shift. I was there, you know, for 18-hour shifts, you know, all night long for 4 days in a row. And I go in and they're like, "We think it's going to be this, you know, we're going to talk about it in the morning." I'm like, "Well, it takes a week to get back that typhus test. So we're not going to know anymore in the morning. Let's start now." And they're like, "You have a point. Okay, let's do it." So we started on the antibiotics Tuesday night in the middle of the night. And long story short, 24, 36 hours later, he has his last fever. Okay. And it's broken, and he's fine. But they were taking his temperature there, and they have really accurate thermometers. And first time I saw a nurse take his temperature, and it was 104.5. After he's supposed to be, he's on an IV and supposed to be comfortable, whatever. She's her eyes bug. She's like, "That can't be right." He takes it again, and it's exactly the same. He was miserable for 13 days of fever. And then finally, this miracle drug, and he's doing great. He's coming back. He's starting to get his he became himself again, which was amazing.
And he's home and everything. And
he came home on Friday. Yeah,
and they just give him just a prescription.
He just takes the rest of the pills at home. Yeah, until he's done with it.
And this is not. I don't know if you. I can't remember if you mentioned this, but this is not a contagious thing.
No.
It's born from. Yeah. From fleas and other nasty stuff.
It's vector-borne stuff that, yeah, it's...
Did you bug bomb the house, too? You gotta do that?
He wasn't... No. It's all done, pretty much, at this point.
But, it still seems rare, though. Like...
Oh, well, that's the thing. It is rare. Like, not many people get it, but Southern California, I think Arizona, and Texas... are where breakouts are happening. And if you look, do a Google search of murine typhus outbreak, and you will see stories from this past summer where like Long Beach and other places have had a real spike in it. And they were saying there at the hospital, yeah, we're seeing more and more of this because there are many homeless people living in proximity to rats. And, you know, the warm climate, they're just seeing more and more of it. And by, outbreak, there are 50 cases of it a year.
Right.
But it's more than just, once in a crazy while and you end up on, an episode of House or something because nobody can figure out what it is. but this place, getting back and putting a button on this place, Children's Hospital, we're getting him out of trying to get him out of his bed and taking him down to the reading room where they give you free books if you go down there and then to the playroom where you got like a Lego set and stuff. They do everything they can and they give this donated stuff to the kids so that experience doesn't have to be a pure hellscape. Yeah. And gets their mind off it.
They have video games in there and just all sorts of activities. And
they've got Nintendo and Xbox and PlayStation 4, wow. All that stuff. They've got everything, in there to try to entertain those kids while they're there. Because it's It's pretty fucking terrifying.
Hell, you could go down to the Seacrest Studio in Orange County and do a radio show if you wanted to.
Is that right?
Yeah, they have one of those down
there. I think I remember that. I think I remember seeing something like that.
Yep.
But
that's his
there,
contribution to the Children's Hospital's plaster his name over radio studios everywhere. But I'm sure he probably gives more to other stuff, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll give him the benefit of the
disparage,
doubt.
Right? Yeah,
please don't do that. Thank you,
but Larry. We were down there and we were getting that tour, Larry, and we were told about that place, and it was just clear the people that work there are amazing and what they do for kids when they fucking need it. And by the way, remember Vivian when she was less than a month old, she had a virus and couldn't draw a breath. And I'm in my living room. I remember where I was standing. And I'm holding her in my hands, and she's tiny, and she is struggling to get a breath in. And this was just a year or two after we did this thing, and I turned to Laura, and I'm like, we're going to Children's Hospital. We got to go. And, you know, they fucking saved her life there. It was an amazing thing. And their bedside manner...
That's the thing that I noticed is that the people there are next level because, you know, when you work in a hospital, you can get really jaded. You see so much stuff that just and also the way people can treat you when you work there.
Yeah.
And those
people are better than us by far.
And that staff at Children's Hospital, it was kind of like Disneyland like you know cast members, like they were so lovely and warm and helpful and positive, and there was just this vibe there of like, you know, and they see like incredible when you have to deal with kids who are really really sick. That has got to just hurt your soul.
I had a friend, a girl who worked in the kids cancer wing there. And she would go there and literally work like 24 hours, come back for like 8 hours, and then go where like have this just intense schedule for like 5 or 6 days, and then have like 3 or 4 days off, and then just go back like this real intense schedule. And between the lack of sleep and just what I knew she would be seeing there every day, never once did she like have any negative comments. And I would just like, I'd see her and I'd be like, how are you not just like crying on the couch, just like not just having no faith in you know, in the world anymore? You know what I mean? I don't know how you guys go through that with the intensity of the job, with the heartbreak of it all, and just and then having to go back. I mean, even just to have to do that for like 8 hours, I would be like, okay, I can't do this. I literally can't do this and be the same be a person. You know what I mean? I just can't. I wouldn't be able to function. So those people are a special kind of people.
They are. I think that's the point, is that they are not, there is a something in the DNA of those folks that is special, that is just, you know, superhero level to be able to do that.
You were talking, Larry, about the all of those machines being around those kids and how they're the counterbalance to that. They're the humanity of what's going on there. And I specifically remember Laura talking about one of the social workers coming in when, you know, Laura's like, she's 4 weeks old and, you know, all of these tubes coming out of her and all of this machinery around her. She should be home. And the social worker came in and said, you are her home, you know, and just completely changed the experience in that instant. And just incredible people. Anywho, getting to, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Larry, but we were talking about this ridiculous, generous card that David Headwall had sent us.
Yeah, right.
I think I found out what we should do with it.
Blow it on porn.
Yep. Porn and exotic alcohol. Yeah.
After the rough week you had,
tons of cigarettes.
Yep.
Trying to relieve the stress, if you know what I mean.
And maybe a buffet at the Seventh Fail. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I hear the prime rib there is. That's when I was working in Houston, there were a bunch of guys that once a week would try and find, because Houston is much like kind of Atlanta, well known for its gentlemen's clubs, you know, these giant monoliths in nice parts of town with, you know, valet parking. It's not like if you drive around LA and you see them tucked away, there's one near the airport and there's one off the railroad tracks in, you know, Van Nuys.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Interesting, Josh. How do you know exactly which one? I live in the air.
Okay. There's a Target over there.
No, in Houston, it was like these big, fancy, nice buildings. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a chain of them, and they had them.
Was it Spearmint Rhinovirus?
No. And there were a group of guys at the radio station where I worked that would go there for lunch once a week and constantly defend it with, oh, their buffet is like, don't order a drink because that's where they really get you. They upcharge you for that. But it's like the prime rib there is like, and they were always trying to get me to go to try the prime rib. Like, guys, I have no interest in that. I'm not judging. You go ahead. But they always felt the need to say, no, the food there is so good. Okay. Has nothing to do with the giant enhanced cleavage of cleavage of the woman that brings you your iced tea.
This prime rib goes really great with some Motley Crue and a G string.
Gentlemen's clubs. Yeah.
But anywho, I wanted to present that to you guys. I'm wondering if the remainder of that might be a great timely place to go, because, you know, people don't get turned away from children's hospital because they don't have money.
That's great. No, I think that's a great idea.
That is your choice. We did offer that up to you, Andy, and we wanted you to use it for personal gain. But if you find it in your heart to give all or a portion of it to a worthy cause, I co-sign on that completely. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing. I think that maybe the cat sweaters are important. And
you know what?
I presented that to Lara, and she said, "Well, that's a great idea, but aren't they dog people?"
Yeah.
So maybe it's a dog sweater.
With your experience for cats of you lately, I think we should maybe bail off the cat sweater. Cat dad.
Got the mug going.
I'm just afraid that custom sweaters might use up the whole gift card right now. I wouldn't worry too much about giving us something that we will literally wear never. So unless you force us to put it on for a picture on if we have a reunion episode.
That's okay. I don't think I'll even wear it then.
Oh, dude, I forgot it, Andy. It's up in Cambria. I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
I accidentally left it underneath my washing machine.
So David, with your permission, we're very lucky people. And I tell you, you know, coming away from there this week, you would think that maybe after a year of lymphoma and fucking of all things typhus and all that, that I might be frustrated or angry or feel like the world is unfair. I've come away with nothing but gratitude, because, you know, it was a trial, but, you know, good things have come from it. And while people keep saying, oh, God, I bet you're ready for 2022. I'm saying, yeah, but I said that in 2020.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as far as I can tell, you've got so far, you had the cancer, and then you had the cat issues, and then now Silas. So we're just basically ticking off everybody in the family
Let's not gloss over that his front steps got done, finally. There's balances, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know, you take the good, right. The bad.
You can't just sit there and say all the bad stuff. No, don't do it.
The facts of life.
I'm not joining in.
I just remembered Lara. Remember, she was trying to give Tuxie a pill, and he bit her thumb. And
I forgot about that. Yeah.
These cats are going to kill us.
Yeah. Well, we all know that cats are just waiting for the opportune time to be able to.
Let's not sit back and remember the time when there was rats in your place and they were and the cats were just sitting in the corner smoking cigarettes, laughing, going, "He's got rats. He thinks I'm going in there and getting them. He's screwed." They're like, "I'm jumping over the fence. The only way they're going to find me is with my my detector, and then I'm going to make them chase me down the street." Yeah. So maybe we need to think about the cats here. Well,
they're watching you in the middle of the night to see if you stop breathing, because they're going to feed on you the moment they see some stools.
They're waiting until there's a slight movement in the chest, and then that's when they're going to walk up and sit right on your chest like a pillow, like a pillow.
Well, you know they come up and they steal your breath in the middle
of the night. They steal your breath. That's what I was going to say. They steal a baby's breath. That's what cats do.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
It's just science.
It's pretty widely accepted.
Yeah,
it's pretty widely accepted as fact.
Look it up.
Look it up on Wikipedia. I guarantee it's there.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
So we had a pretty crazy week.
Tell me.
I got a new car on Tuesday.
What?
Yeah,
we got new.
Wait, no. Did you get rid of the green monster?
No, I kept that one. I got rid of my wife's car, my wife's crappy car that we bought and has had an issue every 3 weeks since we owned it. So we picked that up on Tuesday.
Isn't it the worst time in the world to get a car right now?
But it's the price wasn't bad, but it's a great time to hand in a car.
They are desperate for inventory.
Exactly. So it was like one of the kind of balanced out. So that, and it was one of those things where we can't wait any longer. Like, luckily enough, like the check engine light went on in her car, right? And I'm like, that's it. I'm not putting another dollar into this thing. And when she parked in the garage, like every time she'd back up, there'd be a little speck of oil on the cement. I'm like, I'm not putting another dollar in this thing. Let's get rid of it. I don't care if it's a bad time to get a car. It'll still be saving us money because we're not, you know, putting $1,000 into it every 3 weeks.
Right. Boy, that dealership got themselves a sweet deal. So,
here's what I'm saying. So somehow
how much of this did you disclose?
They didn't ask.
As it puffed and rattled and smoked into the lot.
So she looked it up and somehow figured out how to clear the check engine light so it wasn't even on. And I'm like, don't drive it for a week. We didn't drive it, and then we drove it to the dealership, and we're like, take that one. And so we got a new car. That was Tuesday. We picked it up Tuesday, and then we're sitting here. And mind you, that we've been shorthanded at work this week, so that means everybody's got to take a little extra load on, and it just became insane. So it was like one of those insane holiday work weeks. And in the middle of the week, we get a call from school. Owen had to go into quarantine because the boy that sits beside him came down with COVID.
Oh, man. That's going to be happening more and more and more now.
So we brought him home. This happened on Wednesday. This happened Thursday. And he had tested the school tests every week on Wednesday. And we got the test on Wednesday. And he was negative on Wednesday. The kid didn't come in on Thursday because he tested negative on Wednesday, too. We tested Owen, was negative on Thursday. He was negative on Friday. He's negative yesterday. He's had no signs. He's had no fever. He's fine, but he's had to, you know, quarantine. And this weekend was his championship game for his soccer team. And they follow LAUSD rules. So according to ASO, he couldn't play. And he was kind of bummed with that. But they went on and they won. And they FaceTimed them from the field, and they were all jumping around, and he wore his jersey that day, and so he was excited about that. But that was just one of those weeks where there's a lot of up and downs and everything. It was like, get a car, tons of work, kids sick, not sick, championship game, everybody's all right. So whatever. I'm just glad this week's over and we're getting into a new one. Ugh.
I hear you. Yeah, I'm with you, Larry. Anything from you?
I just got my booster yesterday and I feel like crap. Yeah. So these vaccines just do a number on me. And I talk to so many people who are like, man, I didn't feel anything.
All right, real quick though, because you had the Johnson & Johnson initially, right?
I did.
What did you do? Did you mix and match or did you do?
Well, the second time you did something else, didn't you?
No, this is only my second shot.
Yeah, Johnson only does one. That's right.
Is just one. I defaulted to going back to my local pharmacy here in Cambria because the demand in LA and the lines in LA and the people who are just like rude about it. I gave up on CVS and Walgreens where I had two different appointments to go and get.
I gave up on CVS.
So I actually just came here in town and they have Johnson & Johnson again. They have the Janssen one. So I just got the Janssen booster.
Mine's Thursday. Did it yesterday, right? Like how many hours has it been since?
I got it around 3 and I was feeling poopy by that evening.
That's the exact same time as mine.
And so far all day, I mean, this has the same feeling as I had last time. It feels like a day of like you've got the flu coming on. It's just
like a hangover.
A headache, stuffy for a little bit. I feel achy. All I want to do is go to sleep, which is why I was late for the podcast. And I'm dehydrated today. I have been sucking down water like crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. And
maybe you have murine typhus.
It's possible. We've had those mice running around. I got a dog that's itching itself all the time, runs off into the forest. So we had a flock of turkeys wander into the yard yesterday.
Oh, I bet that was lovely.
It was, they're disgusting.
They're gross. They're scary. They're loud.
They're mean. I mean, they've chased deer out of the yard, turkeys have. Turkeys are territorial.
I ran into one in the forest one time, and it scared the living piss out of me. I just came walking around. It was like in a bush. It just was just coming around. I was like a 14-year-old kid. I turned around and ran.
But Bixby smelled their scent from inside the house. His senses are like incredibly fine-tuned because suddenly he comes barreling out of the back door, didn't even have a chance to close the door. And the next thing I know, he's running up the hill chasing turkeys everywhere, and they're scattering. And by the way, turkeys can get airborne. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, they can. That a little
WKRP episode is BS because they actually can fly. There was a turkey that it ended up on a limb in a tree to get away from my dog. Airborne enough. It is a labor to do it. You can see that they're like, oh, this is not the way we like to go. But they got up and got going. And
it's like a peacock, right?
And then he's off in the middle of the woods and I can't find him and he doesn't respond. He doesn't come back. No. He was a very bad, bad boy yesterday.
Right around Christmas, too.
I had to go tromping into the woods to find him. And I find him just sitting there staring at me as I've been calling him the whole time. He's looking at me like, I'm right here. What's your problem? It's like, no, you're supposed to come. So I come, Bixby. Come, Bixby. And he looks at me. And he's in his terrible teens right now. He's just a rebellious teenager. He looks at me, turns around and walks the other way up the hill.
So the equivalent of the middle finger.
We had a little talking to.
Wow. Yeah,
he had a timeout.
Hey, Josh, one more time. How's it going?
I don't know. Something like that.
It's changed every time you've done it.
They're
different.
Terrifying.
I guess different, you know.
Dialects.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Different sorts of turkeys from different
turkey dialects.
That's Western Pennsylvania turkey.
Yeah,
they say yins.
I'm telling you, these turkeys though, they're looking nice and plump. The timing for Christmas.
Yeah, you should get yourself a shotgun to sit
now,
out.
Is
there.
It?
I would.
Is it? Is it illegal to hunt a wild turkey?
Probably. No, they have turkey. They have turkey season in Pennsylvania. It's a big thing.
I don't know that I can just go out in my backyard and just. I guess.
Yeah,
I could,
you probably couldn't. Well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think you can I don't think you can discharge a firearm.
It depends.
Within county.
I could wrestle it to the ground and strangle it to death.
Here's what I was going to say. Either ninja stars or
blowgun
I don't want to get a shotgun because then there's going to be buckshot and stuff all through the bird,
right?
You hit it in the head.
I grew up with that, having to eat the dove and the quail that my grandfather would bring home and constantly like cracking a tooth on a piece of metal coming out of it. And then
what about a
Whoa, ooh, that was a guest appearance.
Yep.
Yeah, that was Owen. And yeah. He has
breathing right in your breathing COVID right in your yep. face.
Say hi.
Hello. Hi.
Hi, Owen.
He's got hair as long as Jimmy Page back there.
Yeah. Owen, look what's up, you. Man?
What's up?
How you feeling?
Good.
Okay, feeling better?
Hey, congratulations on your team winning the championship. That's amazing.
Thank you.
You got them right to the doorstep. They just all they did was cash the check at the end of it. You were the ramrod behind that.
Yep. Hey, Owen, you're better at this than your dad. Could you stay on for the rest of this podcast?
Yeah.
No? No.
Owen,
hey, Owen, what's a turkey sound like?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Hey, Owen, what did you think of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas special?
It was good.
All right. I think you're putting us on that one.
Yeah. Larry didn't write it, so you can say what you really feel.
We won't
be
offended.
You're not going to get grounded if you tell the truth.
Golly, do you have mashed potatoes?
It was okay. That's the review right there. Yeah,
that's probably fair. I like the long locks, man. Last time I saw you, you didn't have hair that long. Of course, your hair is about as long as you were tall the last time I saw you. But I love it. The hair looks great.
Yeah.
All right, go play Fortnite. That's what he wanted to know if he could do. He's like, I read a chapter. Can I play Fortnite? I'm like, okay.
I read a chapter.
That's a new rule in the house. You want to earn video game time, you gotta read some chapters and some books.
Oh, nice. I like that.
So we're starting off with the Bible.
I was going to say, you're going to go check it. It's one of those chapters that's like a page.
And it's exclusively Leviticus and Revelation.
Yeah. Yeah. And memorize them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Learn something, boy. That's great. Hey, last time we talked, I believe it was last time, I had just finished the exterior illumination of the Chanley Casa.
Ooh.
Put the lights up around the front of the house, as I always do, along the fence. I was wondering, Larry, you already said that that Sharla gets right on the horse. She had it up before the Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving, yeah. We had it now, for the Thanksgiving weekend. Did a minimalist thing, but yeah, we're pretty much done through the holidays.
Did you, and you said you had lights up already, Josh? Can people see them from the outside?
Yeah, mine were up the day after Thanksgiving, along with the Amazing. Christmas tree and all the other decorations.
Oh, so your trees are all up, and they're artificial trees. They're all up, right. And you guys are ready to go. Okay, right, great. Right.
Good for you. Have you killed yours yet?
We killed ours.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah, we murdered it.
Check it for fleas?
or for that matter, rodents that have fleas living in it.
Squirrel!
Is there a wolverine, lurking in there somewhere?
Badger up on the top of it.
I hear a funny squeaky sound. we checked it for vermin, and we put the thing up last night. Had a wonderful moment of higa.
Higa. Higga. I love that higga shit.
Yeah, it was great. It was really nice. Listening to the Christmas songs, having the fake fireplace going on the TV as we put up the Christmas tree and trimmed it with all the ornaments.
So the tree can see its relatives burning while it's chopped up.
That's so cruel.
Basically. Yeah. And then Viv brought home, you'll love this, Josh, Viv brought home from school a very small Christmas tree. It looks like the Christmas branch from Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Nice. Did you decorate it yet? Where are you putting it?
Yeah. And 100 years from now.
Well, no, you're gonna put it in her room, right? You're gonna decorate.
No, it is right next to the regular Christmas tree.
So you want to put the dead little tree by the other big dead tree. Okay.
It's a little mini me of the mini tree of the big tree.
See, this is little dead trees. We watched the Charlie Brown Christmas special yesterday.
Ooh, I think we're going to do the Grinch this tonight.
It was just a spontaneous moment. Charlotte just saw that it was on Apple TV Plus, so we just popped it on, let it run. In fact, I posted a little something on my Instagram story if you want to check that out. Because Bixby did not approve of Snoopy's commercial take on Christmas.
Is that right?
Just started barking his ass off at Snoopy, literally at Snoopy putting up decorations on his doghouse.
Do you think this is also him like acting out, going through a teenage phase where he doesn't like anything that might be construed as like mainstream?
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? He's like,
it's like, this is too old.
No,
this
is bullshit. Yeah. I would never do that. You know, like,
right.
So that's how teenagers I'll tell you talk.
What. I had the books as a kid. You just reminded me that I had the Charlie Brown books. I had The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. I had, It's Christmas Charlie Brown. Right. What was the other one?
There's a Thanksgiving one too.
But is there a Thanksgiving?
Yeah, sucks.
Is that what you watched the other week as your amuse-bouche?
Who, me?
Right. I did.
You watched the Thanksgiving one? Yeah.
I watched that, yeah.
So I guess there are three of them?
Well, they have
there's a whole bunch of them. But
They also started adding things like Valentine's Day. Yeah. And those are lame. Those are just the worst.
But these books from the 70s, right. I remember having them. And I have to, you just reminded me, the page, you turn to the page where Snoopy has decorated.
Oh my God, I'm having a flashback. I had the Halloween one too. Go ahead. I just completely forgot.
Yeah, The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Yeah. The pages were all different colors, right?
Yeah. And when you turn to the one with the decorated Snoopy house, that page, I remember as a kid, I thought looked cool as hell. Yeah. I just thought that was amazing. And that was the only part of that entire book.
You know, okay, I had one of those books, Andy, but it was the Snoopy versus the Red Baron, which was that whole scene in the Halloween special. It was just that storybook in a storybook, and I completely forgot I had it until you actually mentioned that, and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go Grinch tonight, maybe.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, by Grinch, are you talking about the original Seuss Grinch?
Yeah, the only Grinch.
Boris Karloff. You're not going to watch Jim Carrey prance around with his...
I wouldn't watch Jim Carrey if he was drowning my toilet. Wow. Jim Carrey's the worst. Wow. He's the worst.
Yeah.
We've already done this. I don't want to
rehash we've established
this. My hatred for Jim Carrey.
General disdain for Jim Carrey. Wow. Okay.
Jim Carrey's... My wife
sounded
feels
pretty
the
grinchy
same.
Right there, buddy.
My wife feels the same way about Adam Sandler as I do about Jim Carrey. She thinks, like, Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey both had that same kind of career arc, right? Where they, like, the first couple things they did were really funny, and then everything they've touched after that has just been crap.
Oh, Larry. I wanted to add, by the way, speaking of Adam Sandler and crap, yes, I wanted to ask you about something. Last night,
speaking of Adam Sandler and crap,
ring the bell, please.
You're the expert on this. No, you are. you are a film buff, and so I wanted
to
ask you.
I thought you were
going to
say that I am one of the stars of two different Adam Sandler movies. I thought that's what you were going to say.
Are you?
Yeah.
Where? Which ones?
I'm in Anger Management.
Are you
really?
Oh, that's right.
Yes. As pool player. Oh, absolutely.
Pool player. And in what other movie?
I'm not as prominent, but I'm also The Longest Yard, his remake of The Longest Yard.
What were you in that movie?
I was just in the background in the prison yard.
You were Guy Man Dude.
When I think of quintessential prisoner in a high security prison, mm-hmm. I think of Larry.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to ask you about something that I was just shocked by. Laura and I were sitting around last night. We finally got the kids to bed. You know, it's 9:30. We're thinking, hey, maybe we could watch a holiday movie. You know, maybe we could just sit down with a glass of wine and enjoy a holiday movie together. So she says, I saw a movie as we were looking through the listings yesterday or whatever. How about this movie? There's a movie with so-and-so in it, and I go to look, and I look at the reviews of it on Netflix or whatever, and it says Rotten Tomatoes 10%. I'm like, this looks like this isn't going to be great. But then I'm looking at the cast of it, and the cast is Steve Martin, Madeline Kahn.
I know the movie already.
What's his name? Klein?
Kevin Klein?
No. Other comedian, Klein.
Robert Klein. Right.
Adam Sandler.
Yes.
Gary Shandling is in it.
Correct.
I'm trying to remember some of the other people. Oh, Parker Posey. Who else? It is like the cast. Anthony LaPaglia.
Yeah. Juliette Lewis.
Juliette Lewis.
Rita Wilson has a prominent role.
What movie is this?
Tom Hanks' wife.
All of these people are in this movie.
It was directed by Nora Ephron, who did huge, you know, romantic comedies.
Yeah.
And
Sleepless in Seattle and shit. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I mean, how can this be
Liev Schreiber,
his first role. Yes. So we're looking at this like, how can this be bad? And we start watching it, and I'm like,
what is it?
It's really awful, isn't it?
What the fuck is happening here? Mixed Nuts.
That's it.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
It is.
It is a notoriously
claptrap.
Yeah, it's so bizarre that it is worth watching if you just sit down and go, this is going to be an adventure in cinema and not enjoyable. If you, it's like there is no Christmas spirit to it, really.
No. And what it seemed like 10 minutes into it, I'm turning to him like, this seems like an experimental theater play because there's zero heart in this.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's very dark.
None of these actors have had any, Stephen Wright's in it. None of them have any, you know, any connection to each other.
It seems like there's so many A-list cast members. Is this like something where everybody just had a bunch of little parts that it was like it never gels together? You know what I mean? Like there's so many A-list players. It's very much an ensemble thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Martin was top billed and he's kind of the focus of it, but it takes place in a suicide hotline?
Yeah. Suicide prevention hotline.
So already right off the top, you're going perfect for Christmas. Yeah. It takes place in like the first scene is him riding a bike through Santa Monica. So it's like 80 degrees. You're right. It was an experiment just to see how many buttons they could push and try and make some sort of Christmas thing out of it. Oh, it's a nightmare. It's really bad.
It is thoroughly not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 10% they got on Rotten Tomatoes
is generous.
It's charitable. Yeah. It wasn't
good. Well, I also watched something that Larry had recommended. I haven't finished yet because it's 7.5 hours. But
Andy and I were both very high on this.
Oh my god! Oh. Well, you can't give away any spoilers for people that are going to watch this.
Any plot points?
I mean, there's
spoiler,
really
spoiler. They break up at the end.
Beatles documentary. Get Back. I mean, I would absolutely recommend this to, I don't know if I'd recommend the whole like 7.5 hours to anybody that wasn't like a Beatles fan, because there's a lot of just chit chat talk, but people that are really, the people that like the Beatles, I mean, I couldn't get enough. I was just like listening to them talk about Jelly and Toast and stuff like that. And just like all this little stuff. And there was a couple times where I got really emotional and I had to take the headphones off because I was listening to the headphones. And I said to my wife, I'm like, this is weird for me because I've been in situations with band members like this and sat down and writing. And this is how you write songs and seeing the Beatles write these songs for the first time and knowing that I know what they're going through. I know, but like almost like having the song and almost being there, or somebody actually brings it to the table and is playing it to you for the first time and you can hear it and you're like, that's going to be a good song. You know what I mean? Like hearing George play I Me Mine for the first time, mm-hmm. and saying how he kind of got inspired by a waltz, and then he's playing it and they're all just kind of standing there with their arms crossed around and just listening to him. And I'm like, this is them hearing it for the first time, right. And in their heads going, okay, I know what we can do with this. Yeah, and it was just one, and hearing all these songs, and I had it in my head going in that this was going to be about the Let It Be recordings, and it's so not. It's them writing Abbey Road.
It's rehearsing what would become the Let It Be album, but it's essentially everything else that was kind of on there, little snippets of things that would literally become that medley on Abbey Road because it was just snippets of things. I mean, he even sings Her Majesty at one point.
It was
a full song in his mind that becomes a few seconds after the
now
album.
Now you're spoiling shit.
I don't care.
I'm only halfway through the second one.
Okay, well, the part that I was going to bring up is what song was it that Paul, they're like interviewing some A&R guy and they're talking about, I don't know, they're talking about like demos or something like that. And they're like talking to this guy a little bit offset, you know what I mean, away from the recording area. This is when they were in the big studio, not when they went to the smaller studio. And you hear Paul in the background.
Let it be.
He literally starts writing Let It Be. And then they take all the footage and they put it all together and they show, like, it's just crazy. It puts you in a way that you're like, this is what it was like to be there, like, making them coffee and hearing them write Let It Be in the background like bringing them lunch and being like, the one thing I walked away too is fucking John Lennon is annoying.
you gotta realize he's on heroin at that point.
Okay, that explains a lot because he's up.
And did you go all the way through all three parts yet, John?
No. I'm a little bit left on the second one.
You will see you and Andy will both see a very different John Lennon as this thing goes on because first episode he's barely there. He's a ghost of a person. It's like, and you can see in his eyes, and you can see there's just something that's kind of shut him down. He becomes very different. He's on a different wavelength as this thing goes on. And that has to be, you know, just part of the dynamic, which is, what are these guys doing? What are these guys taking? What are they going through personally? It's a real emotional thing.
I was stunned when they had that footage of them meeting for lunch and they secretly mic'd the flowers. I was like, oh my God, this is an actual real legitimate conversation about them breaking up
that we weren't supposed to hear.
They didn't know that they were being recorded. They're not, this isn't for the cameras or anything. This is them really talking as two kids that grew up together in this band.
That's what Andy and I were saying last week, which is like, it's so intimate. It almost feels wrong.
Yeah.
Like, when
that came up, I was like, my heart like literally dropped. Like, oh my God, I'm gonna hear a no frills Beatles conversation, like from the two main members that are lifetime friends, and they're talking about the end of this band. This is historical shit.
and what's really interesting about it is they both admit their culpability in that moment. They're like, we were dicks to him, and we were kind of assholes, and we do it all the time.
And John was like, John's calling Paul out, and you really get to see what George saw. And I was like, because I'm a Paul man, and there was a couple times I'm like, he kind of thinks he runs this band sometimes a little bit, but then on the other hand, when you see John bouncing off the walls and being all goofy, maybe he has to because nobody else. Because this is Brian Epstein's dead; they don't have anybody to be the leader. And I think
that's Paul's point. Paul's point was like, we used to have Daddy, and Brian Epstein was, for better or worse, he told us what to wear, he told us how to cut our hair, and then when that went away, nobody took over that role. And what's interesting is that, like, George Martin, as much as an impact as he had on the physical production of their music and the end result, he is very standoffish. He's never in there telling them how to. I mean, he is all about just, I'm just here to help in the recording and finishing process. But there is literally no grown-up in the room. And Paul took that on, and that's part of the dynamic that the rest of them, they're like, you shouldn't be the one necessarily guiding this. I mean, it's fascinating.
How uncomfortable is that scene when what's his name from the Pink Panther?
Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers comes in and
he's
sits
in there
down.
For 5 minutes. And he's like,
He sits down.
I gotta get the fuck out of here.
And they all start jibber jabbering bullshit at him, and he's just sitting there with this big smile, and he just goes, okay, we'll see you guys later. And he just
Why
stands
is there
up
a camera
walks.
On this? Why should I be a part of this? Am I supposed to be? Yeah, he didn't feel the need to be performative in that moment. He was like, I'm getting out of here.
Exactly.
Wow. I have a persistent 6-year-old knocking at my door, so I'm going to have to go figure out what that is.
Please hold.
It's your
hold,
wife.
Hold, please.
Yeah.
It's your wife.
Oh, it's my wife.
Oh,
Oh, I know what just happened.
For anybody who just missed it, Andy referred to his wife, Laura, as a persistent 6-year-old.
I'm sorry, I called you a persistent 6-year-old. Do you want to come say hi?
No, I have to get to Pure Bar.
Oh, she's got to go to class. Here's what just happened. Can I say this? Can I speak freely, dear?
Yes, so, hey, you've got a cat here with you. I'm leaving you.
Oh, great. That's what I need, a cat. Yep.
You are the cat daddy.
Okay, what just happened was she dropped off some contraband. We were talking about getting Christmas shopping done.
Yeah.
She procured a couple of Christmas things and wanted to stow them in here while the kids were busy elsewhere.
Gotcha.
So that's what's
Can
going on.
Can I tell you, we're done. We're done with the Christmas shopping already.
Yeah, you said that, and you can go.
We're entering into this week. We'll be entering into wrapping phase, and it's not even like it's like the second week of December. Yeah.
Wow, that's a little too efficient, Josh.
Nah, let's get it done. Get it out of the way. I want to enjoy the holidays.
We haven't even done our Christmas cards yet.
Wow, that's a shame for you. Yeah.
Wow, that's an effort you're putting into something nobody gives a crap about, by the way. Not although we always enjoy receiving
exactly.
Yeah. It's clearly a prominent place on our refrigerator.
I wait till we're all around the dinner table to open it. We light candles and we go, here we go, it's here. We open up,
pass it around, everybody gets a chance. Yeah.
When I address your card, Larry, I feel like I'm addressing it right to your trash can.
That is not true.
Jesus. Guys, we got a couple of phone calls. Would you care to get to them before
let's move this along. I mean, what's the number there, Andy?
I'm so glad you asked. It's 626-657-6428 or PM Hat. Oh, by the way, before we get to this, people have reached out to me like, oh, there's a problem with my Yaff crap cup order or whatever. I don't care.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Love you.
I don't have anything to do with that shit. There's a company on the East Coast that mails all that stuff out.
I will tell you this. This is a problem with many companies like that right now. They are having major issues with, like everything else, with shipping, with it's a problem, and so I would expect delays and issues.
Well, it's not even that somebody's like, oh, I put the wrong address in there. Yeah, I don't care.
Oh no,
you gotta take that up with them because I don't know.
Say we'll address it in episode 251.
Yeah, exactly. that's right. The big episode 250.
Yeah, 251 is going to be a blast.
I think 250, 251 is probably going to be a two-parter. Oh, it's so big.
I think we're finally going to start hitting our stride around 250, 251.
Episode 250, it's going to have Steve Martin and Madeline Kahn and Liv Schreiber.
Don't give it all away.
It's going to be really good.
It's an all-star cast is what you're saying.
It's going to be super good. Anyway, 626-657-6428 is the number if you want to call us. Here we go.
Hey, guys, this is Dave, and I was just calling. I'm sure I'm late because I'm sure everybody's told you the filbert, the filbert nut and the hazelnut, it's the same fucking nut. It's just two different names. And I like your show. It's the best. Sorry, you're going away. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Talk about saving the best for last.
Boy, going back to the nut episode, I didn't even realize there was a sort of a controversy there. So,
did we bring up the filbert?
I'm sure we did. Yeah.
The filbert,
we claimed them to be different nuts.
I mean, maybe we just didn't know what a filbert nut was, what the different, well, like what a filbert nut was. We probably knew it was one of them, but we didn't know which one.
We might have said filbert and hazelnut in the sentence and not recognize that they are the same thing.
He said that the filbert nut was the same as the hazelnut.
Okay.
Have we fact checked that? Is that true?
That is true.
It is. Well, yeah, we looked it up. Cats suck breath and filbert nuts are the same as something else. So yeah, we're good. Mm-hmm. We had our researchers check it out. Owen checked it out. It's okay.
All right. We've got another call here. One more call. You guys ready? Oh, actually, yeah, I'm sorry. We don't have one more. I already did.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. leave that in.
However,
fair enough.
The yapsack is a bulging today. My sack is stuffed. I want to thank so many people for checking in with us and dropping us a note at yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. A lot of people are responding to the fact that we are wrapping up the old podcast, and to Jared, who gave us a catch up on old topics 1 through 6 in 6 different emails as he finished episodes. Sad face from Bill, the quitters subject line from Tim Downing, and everybody else who's right. I do want to read one from Lucas. Dear Andy, Larry, Josh, and Sam. Sam? Oh, Sam Farmer's on assignment. Okay,
yeah. He's on assignment.
I'm so sad to hear that this podcast is coming to an end. It's been quite the journey to your podcast. Starting with the Mark and Brian radio program and going to the Mark and Linda podcast, Mark in the Morning, and to Your Artificial Friends. I hope you know how much this podcast meant to so many, and especially myself. I suffer from severe anxiety, and though I have an incredibly supportive wife and work with the appropriate doctors, listening to your podcast every Thursday provided a great deal of relief. I subscribe to a lot of podcasts, but there's something special about listening to yours. Just a group of friends that are sharing what's going on in their lives, sharing funny stories, serious moments, music, etc. It just reminds you that everyone is going through the same shit. I truly want to thank you for 4 years of great broadcasting. Wow, Lucas, yeah. Your bar is low.
Yeah.
And I wish you all the best. You will certainly be missed. Thank you, Luke.
Well, I guess we're not quitting now. Okay.
But see, it's stuff. We're getting more and more stuff like that from folks who have said that in some way we have lightened their load, made them laugh, made them feel a part of something that was absolutely the intention, and to hear that does, I think, warm our hearts quite a bit.
So. Yeah. And, hey, Lucas, I want you to know that even after this is gone, you can call Larry anytime you want. Mm-hmm. And, Larry, give him your home number.
No. We got the YAF line. We're going to keep that going. So as soon as Andy figures out how to operate that, we will.
Is it going to be like there was an art installation, I think, at the Met. MoCA in New York, where Yoko Ono had a white room. It was a white room set up. That was all there was. And there was a chair, and next to it was a white telephone. And the phone was a landline, and it was actually plugged in. And she was the only one. It sent to her house. The calls were forwarded. It was the other way around. She was the only one that had the number to the phone. And periodically throughout the day, the entire time this installation was going on, she would call the number. And if you were in the exhibit at the time, you picked up the phone and you talked to Yoko.
I'd pick it up and unplug it and throw it in the garbage. Say, here's some art for you. Put this in the toilet. Thank you, Yoko.
I got to tell you, some of that experimental shit that's going, oh my God, that's one scene. That's one scene in Get Back where
there's a couple
where Paul. Yeah, there are a few of them.
Yeah.
But my favorite was where Paul's actually at the drums.
Yeah.
He's playing along with it, and John's playing guitar and shaking it, and shit, and she's there doing her tube and throat singing. She goes,
and the best is like they cut to like some people, like just like the busy workers in the background, and you can kind of see a look in their eyes, like I can't say anything because this is the Beatles, but what the fuck is going on?
But you can also kind of read into it that this has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
A lot longer than we've been seeing.
Yeah. And Paul, was Paul gratified by it? Or was it like...
I think he was just trying to go with the flow. I mean, that was one of the interesting things, is that you do not see overt animosity
towards
Yoko or she barely says a word the entire time.
But she's always within like 3 feet of John. And you even hear Paul like say... He's like, I understand if he wants to be with Yoko. He's like, you know, he says something like that. She's not the one that's bringing this on. It's John. And I understand it because if it's, if he wants to be with her all the time, then that's a good thing or something. Like he like
right.
like
they're in love and they, yeah. They, I mean, there is a moment in there where he's basically saying, John and I were the closest people in the world for the longest time, and we are no longer that. And you see that realization wash over him. It's one of the most emotional moments of the whole thing because the camera holds on him, and he's recognizing, I am losing the closest person to me for a very long, very intense period of time, a creative partner that I will not have forever.
Yeah, I and highly encourage people. I mean, it's pretty dense if you're just like a music fan and you want to see something. So I can understand not wanting to sit through like 8 hours of Beatle talk, but if you like the Beatles,
yeah,
I mean,
it flew by for me.
Exactly.
I wanted it to keep going.
Yeah, me
even
too.
Alex turned to me at the end and said, "I want to see more." And apparently, Peter Jackson has like potentially like a 10-hour cut that he's going to put out.
That's why. That's why I wanted. That's why I put on headphones because I'm like, I want to hear every little thing in the background. I want to hear all the little mistakes and all the little. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And Cindy and Owen couldn't give two flips.
They don't stand in front of the TV. You make a better door than you do a window. Move.
They give it the Emmett Otter treatment if you made that one.
Cindy goes upstairs and Owen goes plays Fortnite. Okay, Beatles time.
All right.
Were there any other messages that you...
there are several. I want to thank everybody for checking in with us on our Facebook page as well. There's just no time to answer them all, but they are seen, they are read, they are appreciated. Thank you so much, everybody.
Nice. Larry, how can people get a hold of you if they want to in off hours?
You can check out my Instagram at TheLarryMorgan, and you can find me on Facebook. A few people have been finding me there, too. I'm rarely on it these days, but, you know, why not? Let's give Zuckerberg a little extra something. He could use it.
Did you say it's yourartificialfriends@gmail.com?
I did.
Josh, how can people get a hold of you?
Whatever. JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com. You can email me or not.
All right.
Yeah.
You can gorge my sack at Andy Chanley on the Instagram, on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley, and on Twitter, it's Andy_Chanley.
Hey, if we were the Beatles of the podcast, would Sam, who is Sam? He's left, basically.
Pete Best.
We just never bothered to get a rainbow.
Oh, let's give him the Stuart Sutcliffe. He's much more talented than the rest of us. He just, you know, just doesn't have an interest in it.
Yeah, he went solo really early on.
Yeah.
Those guys smoke a ton of cigarettes, too.
Oh, yeah, my God. Silas is like, can I watch it? I'm like, nope.
I'm like, they're just firing cigarettes down left and right. I'm like, how do you do that and then sing those songs?
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's how they did it. Yeah. It was like a lozenge.
Yeah.
People that you know talk like you. Oh, God. Tune into this podcast. We're artificial friends.
Hold on, Josh. Let me hear Yoko again.
I'm going to do Yoko Turkey.
Yeah. There it is. That's what I was looking for. My life is complete.
How am I going to sync all this shit up?
You're not.
You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
Count together with me. One, two, three, four. Okay, I got what I need.
No, you don't. Do it. All right, go.
All these outtakes are going to be part of our documentary one day.
Exactly.
Oh, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.